It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello out there in radio land. This is George Williams, your host of The George Williams Show. Folks, we're so glad to be back behind the mic, and hopefully everybody had a fantastic Christmas. I know I did. It was really nice, and I spent it around the house, and then I went to some relatives' home, and boy, we had some good food. And hopefully New Year's is fantastic for everyone. Fantastic, folks. 2025 is just about gone, folks. 26 is just about here. So we're looking forward to 2026. And we're going to have a special guest tonight who will be talking about, we'll do an overview of 2025. And we're going to do that tonight. And we're going to see what he thinks about, what happened at the beginning of 2025 all the way up to the ending of 2025. And so I think you're going to really enjoy this show. Our number here is 251-343-0106. Now, you can also get us, we do podcasts at the same time that we're doing the show, and you can pick that up tomorrow. Go on our website, fmtalk1065.com, and you can listen to our podcast from tonight and previous nights all the way. I don't know how many years it goes back. Do you know that, Philip? How many years they can listen to our show, previous shows?
21 or 22.
Okay, about 4 years, yes, about 4 years back. And that's a long time. So every week we do a podcast at the same time we're doing our show. And you can go back and listen to our shows, folks. You can go and listen to our shows. And you can find us at FM Talk, TALK, 1065.com.
October 2020.
Oh, that's a long time. So you can go back that far, folks, to listen to our previous shows, okay? What else is happening? Boy. We're going to be talking about a lot tonight, but I just want to give you catch up on some of the things that have been happening. Minnesota, Governor Waltz, Tim Waltz. Remember, folks, he ran for vice president. He was the one that that was chosen as the vice president to run against President Trump. Okay, Tim Waltz. Now, you're hearing a lot about all the money, the fraud they committed, especially the Somalian in Minnesota. Folks, let me tell you, we're talking about billions of dollars of our taxpayers' money that they've taken. And they're rich in Minnesota. You know why? Because the governor allowed them. And he also did the same thing with the Chinese, okay? He was in bed with the Chinese. This guy was going to be our vice president if Ms. Harris would have defeated President Trump. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? She chose him to be her vice president, presidential companion. That is unbelievable. Can you imagine? Look at what they're doing in Minnesota. I mean, the money that they've taken, and it's gone to, a lot of it went to Somalia. Some of those people are filthy rich now, folks. I was just watching on Fox News prior to coming in. It's been on for days regarding the phony daycare and all of those. They created those
They created those folks in order to get that money, the federal money, and state money also. Okay? So a whole bunch of folks should be going to prison for that. A whole bunch of folks in Minnesota. And the worst thing about that is a lot of these folks come over here. They're not even citizens. And they congregate in one area enough to elect one of their people. And then their people who are in office now in Congress and several state offices, do you know what they're doing? They are doing everything they can in order to drain our treasury and to take money back to the country in which they came from. This is not right. This is not right. And I talked to black people, and I said, you know, this is happening. You don't have nowhere to go to send money to overseas. We don't have no place to go, folks. So black people are being so ignorant by voting for these Democrats. And can't they understand what's happening? What's happening? It is truly unbelievable that someone would follow Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and all the rest of those idiots, okay, who is in bed with the Democratic Party. And then the other day also, I saw something, an advertisement by the NAACP talking about you could send so much money a month and all that. And then they had the nerve to say, and we are nonpartisan. What a lie. What a lie. The Democratic Party now is a surrogate for, the NAACP is a surrogate for the Democratic Party. They are not nonpartisan. They are partisan, partisan, partisan. They are Democrats. And for years, I carried a NAACP card. I mean, they tricked me. They tricked me like they treat several of us, you know. But we realized what they were doing, folks. And I broke away, and I'm glad I did, because they are not, okay. NAACP means the, what does it mean? For the Advancement of Colored Folks. National Association for the Advancement of Colored Folks. Now, don't you think you had a black woman, a Republican woman, conservative, run for governor of Virginia? Don't you think the NAACP, because she's black and because she was a conservative, don't you think they should have endorsed her? They didn't, folks. They did not, okay? So that tells you the true, sneaky, unpopular, and undemocratic. It shows you how they are. It shows you how they are, folks. I'm telling you. And it is truly amazing. So join us. We're going to be going to a break soon. And I think our special guest is calling in. So just hold on, special guest. We'll introduce you once we finish our first commercial hour. But I can't wait to hear from him and see what his thoughts are regarding all of 2025. It's going to be very interesting. And he's been a guest of ours and before. And I tell you, we're in trouble. America is in trouble. Just like Europe. Europe is in trouble with illegals and with foreigners. It is in trouble. The U.S. is in trouble with illegals, foreigners. Okay? And a lot of them are criminals. And you see what President Trump is doing. One thing I can say about President Trump, he doesn't care what any Democrat says, okay? He wants to make America better, and that's what he is going to do. And you're not going to stop him. They've tried to assassinate him twice, okay? And I'm telling you, folks, can you imagine if Samara Harris and Walt would have became the president and vice president of these United States. Can you imagine what would happen? What would have happened? That's why Democrats, especially my black folks, get off of that sinking ship. Get off of that sinking ship. Okay? Democrats have done nothing for black folks. Not a darn thing. And they're not going to do anything. So come over. Come over with the USS Republican folks. That's very important. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. This is the George Williams Show, and we're on a mission. And I would like to introduce you to Dr. Lou Campomanoso. Doctor, how you doing?
Hey, George. You know, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It's so good to hear from you. And I really appreciate you asking me to come on tonight.
Same here, Doc. And you know, you've been, you're no stranger to our show here. And as a matter of fact, you have sat in for me on several occasions. So.
Well, I think it's more than several.
I agree. Doc, the reason I brought you on is because, you know, you are an expert in political matters, and you are retired United States Marine Corps major. You've got a PhD, and are you still teaching at Tulane University?
No, I've retired from teaching.
Okay.
But I'm still involved with politics. Even in Alabama, with my own radio show on every Friday at WABF,
right,
1080. You know, the Common Sense campaign is still alive, particularly in Baldwin County. And I've stayed involved with the Alabama Conservative Coalition with, you know, various number of people, including Ann Eubank and others like that.
Right.
So that I haven't left the field of play,
okay,
or the field of battle.
Okay. Great. Doc, what do you think about our political and economic situation right now as we stand? Then we'll get into some other questions.
Well, I mean, I listened to the last part of your monologue, and, you know, talking about how particularly the blacks have not been helped by the Democratic Party.
Right.
I think that is spot on. And George and I, this is not a new topic for us. We've been talking about it for a long time. But, you know, if you trace back what Lyndon Baines Johnson did with the Great Society,
right,
my argument has been that he broke up the black family by introducing this welfare concept where you could, you know, get welfare money, but the man could not be there.
Right.
Now, if the Senator George, oh, Lord, I forgot his last name right now, but he was a Harvard sociologist,
okay,
who went to work for LBJ.
Right.
And he told Johnson, you are going to destroy the black family if we do this.
Okay.
Now, he was talking at that point where 25% illegitimacy was part of what was going on in the black family.
Right.
A deterioration, but not a massive, you know, problem that could have been sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's at 70%. And that number from 25 to 70% has just grown. And here again, the fundamental issue about political life revolves around a family functioning so that the children not only are taught behavior, basic citizenship, going to school, all of that is part of an ingredient in the social makeup of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems to me that, you know, and unfortunately, if 70% is the problem with illegitimacy in the black population, well, you're now creeping up to 50% in the white population.
Right.
So what are we going to have? Kids that are running wild? Well, let's see. Is that really happening? And you bet it is.
It is.
And that's the problem.
Right. That's true.
So,
that's
the
true.
Other part of what you were saying that I really agree with is that this question about what's going on with these Democrats and their policies, you know, somewhere along the line, they have got to wake up to the fact that socialism does not work. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, Dr. Liu, they just voted for Mandami, who's a communist, in New York.
Right.
So how in the world they can square this?
Right.
Now they all complain about how now it's unaffordable. Okay? How did we get to unaffordability?
True,
Biden
true.
Inherited an economy that had 1.6% inflation. That was it.
Right.
An economy that had been booming until the pandemic.
Right.
But one can argue that just look at what Trump did for the first 2.5 years, and it was a very great economy. So if they had just continued to do what Trump was doing from 2017 to 2019, then perhaps Biden would have been fine. But, oh, no, he didn't. Great, you know, great big programs, you know, and massive amounts of spending, continuing to pay pandemic money, which is now a problem because the health care issue is all about money that they were giving, extra money for the pandemic needs
right.
of people who are a problem. And I could understand that. But now they had put in a sunset limitation in when they had it for it to be over by December of 2025.
Right.
Well, now they're going crazy trying to keep it going. So what I'm suggesting is that policy-wise, whether it's the health care issue, whether it's, you know, welfare support, or more importantly, probably, is what they did on the border, which to me is what killed them.
Right.
13
right.
million, or however many million it is, illegals came in. And, George, I mean, when you think about the national security aspects of this, how is it possible that they could stand up there, Mayorkas and Biden, say, the border's secure, no one's coming in, that you know, it's not out of sync? Well, the reality is they let all these people in, and you've got thousands, 26,000 so much Chinese. And do you think China's just going to let these people go? I don't think so. So
well,
you've got those kinds of people. You've got over 2,000 known terrorists on the terrorist watch list.
Right. And so, they allowed them to come in.
Say again?
And they allowed them to come in.
Not only allowed, they welcomed them.
Welcomed
them. They gave them all sorts of inducements to come in. You're going to get money to live on, you're
right.
going to get health care,
right.
you're going to get all this stuff.
Right.
And you're going to get a free phone on top of it.
That is true. That is
you know?
True. You know, I worked the border when I was stationed in New Mexico for 3 years,
yeah.
okay? And we had enforcement at that time.
Right.
But once Barack Hussein Obama came in, he
yeah.
limited the customs and immigration, it's called ICE now, he limited them from enforcing.
Exactly.
Because
they
he said
track down illegals.
Right, yeah. And they were not to arrest them unless they caught them doing a crime. Well, coming across the border is a crime, Doc.
Yep, exactly.
You know, the damage that Obama did to this country is going to be felt for years.
Well, certainly Obama started it.
Right.
But Biden really put the icing on the cake, letting in an open border.
Right. Right.
13 or so million. They
right.
lost 300,000 kids, which, thank goodness, Trump has, the last I've heard of was like 60,000 of these kids that were being trafficked, and, you know, they found some of them, you know, on a marijuana farm in California, working, you know, again, you know, child labor laws, well, that doesn't count. Trafficking, hey, forget that. All they're interested in is getting these people out and making money off of it.
Right.
So, I mean, wherever you point to, in terms of policies that have hurt not just the blacks but everyone, then, I mean, and a 9% inflation on top of it. I forgot to talk about that. Oh, my goodness. You know?
Yeah.
And you talk about why things were unaffordable and why it's still that way to a certain degree. But, you know, George, one of the things I wanted to talk about, and we'll talk about it now,
okay,
if you really look at carefully at what Trump has been able to do to bring affordability back into the system.
Right.
Yeah. He's talked about gas prices, you know, under, well, I think the national average is about $2.90. Guess what? I just paid $2.39 here in Louisiana. And let me preface it by saying this. The last year, before Trump was here, that gas was at $2.90, and it stayed at $2.93, something
right,
like that.
Right.
It has now, for the first time, come down. And you expect it in Louisiana. We produce a lot of this stuff. But the fact of the matter, it never has been low until just a few weeks ago.
That's true.
And so you look at that. Look at eggs. Look at all the rest of these things that's going on. You know, inflation, 2.7%.
Mm-hmm.
Growth, the GDP, 4.3%. It's all the things that he said he was going to do are starting to positively hit the streets.
Right.
And I do think that when the big, beautiful bill comes through and starts being in after January 1st, all of those possible things that they had looked at were so good, you know, no tip, no wages on tips. No wages, no taxes on tips.
No taxes, right.
You know, and other tax incentives to get the middle class, working class folks more money in their pockets, that is going to happen. And when it happens, it's going to create the kind of affordability issues to just go away because people are going to have more money in their pockets. On top of the fact that wages have, according to Bessent, the Secretary of Treasury, you've got a 2% increase in wages.
Right.
And all I'm suggesting here is that you're on the right track in talking about, you know, Democrat policies and how they are just hurting people. And if people, and this is the challenge, George, you had over 70 million people vote for Harris and Walz. I mean,
right.
How in the world could they possibly have done that?
Hold that thought. We're going into our next break. Folks, we'll be back with Dr. Campanosa after these breaks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. And we are definitely on a mission. We are so glad to have our special guest tonight, Dr. Lou Campomanosa. And we're talking about things that are happening now. And he's talking about very positive things, and we'll get on the opposite. What is not popular, so we're glad to have you, Doc. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, George. I appreciate it. I thought we had a good conversation about the problems that Trump has inherited, and how he's going about fixing these problems.
Right.
One fix that we didn't mention was fixing the Department of War. Now, naming it the Department of War goes back to what it used to be called before the 1948 when they changed things around.
Right.
But the bottom line is that there's always a significance to words. Words matter. What you say counts, okay? So changing this to from Defense Department to War means that we are not going to sit back and just wait for things to happen that hurt us. And
right.
let's just talk a couple of examples of this, all right?
Okay.
Here you have bomb, 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 Iran. That was John McCain talking about that off the cuff one time.
Right.
Okay. But that's exactly what Trump did.
Right.
Okay. And he took out their nuclear program, which is absolutely essential to world peace and security.
Correct.
Those crazy people will go ahead and use a bomb if they had one. And the danger from my perspective is that you've got the Chinese and the North Koreans who are supporting the Iranians. And if I would argue that if the Iranians are going to get a bomb, they may not be building it themselves. They'll get it from one of them.
I agree.
And I think we have to be very careful about making sure that if we see that that is happening, that that is going to be taken out immediately.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
The other thing is that the military itself, look at the recruitment numbers that are coming in. They've gotten rid of all this DEI crap and all the rest of this.
Right.
They've gone back to merit-based approaches, high standards, meet the standards you're in.
Right.
Don't meet the standards you're out. None more of this transgender crap that went in there. And like Hegg said that, I don't want to see any more men dressed in women's dresses
right.
coming in.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And it's working because people are flocking in, rallying around the country. And
that's
I
right.
think that's critical for that. The other thing that they're doing in terms of actually doing something, aside from bombing Iran, is going after this drug cartels. Now, you say, well, that's not going to do anything with the problem. Well, guess what? Back in 1972, Nixon declared war on drugs,
right.
okay?
Right.
We're still fighting the war, but
right.
we have lost, up until now, we've really lost the war.
Right.
And one can argue that it's nice to have, like Reagan did, just say no, okay? And I don't disagree with that. In fact, when I was a principal at Ascension Catholic up in Donaldsonville, I would have the drug-smelling dogs come in periodically,
right.
unannounced,
right.
because we reinforced just say no to drugs.
Right.
Nobody's doing that anymore. We're making marijuana legal. I'll tell you what, I'm getting excited about it. I hope I don't say a bad word, but you know what's coming. You know, if they go forward with more of this whole question of legalizing various drugs, it's got to stop at marijuana, and I'm hoping that they will relent on it and move back. But even if they don't, what Trump is doing is cutting off the supply of the bad stuff, cocaine, fentanyl, all the rest of that.
Right.
And in part, what will happen, the supply is going to shrink. It's going to cost the drugs to be so much higher that that's going to be a deterrent to people buying it because they won't be able to afford it.
Right.
Now, that's not the kind of deterrent that I want to see
right.
because I would just assume saying nobody's buying it because it's not right, we're going to stop it. But the Nixon part of the drug war was just stop it at the border. Well, that has not worked.
Nope.
Trump is going after them in Venezuela. The real issue is going to be how successful he's going to be with Mexico. Because what he's doing with Venezuela is not only going after the boats that are carrying the stuff, but it looks like we've just gone after something on land, okay?
Right.
A dock where all of this stuff is put upon and put into the boats, and then they go off.
Right.
That may be the first part of essentially a major approach to destroying their ability to manufacture the stuff because we're destroying the whole, you know, edifice that produces it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope. Now, if we do that, I think the Mexicans are going to come right around, and we will help them get away from the oppression of having the drug cartels being really the second government in Mexico. That's critical from freeing the real government to be able to protect their own people and not have to have these cartels, you know, kill people because they're saying no to the drug cartels.
Right. But, Doc, one thing I could say about that is because of so much corruption in
yes.
Mexico, until I don't see
I really don't see the Mexican government having the ability to get rid of the cartels. So
I don't disagree, George. That's why I think we've got to help them do that.
Oh, well, Doc, I'm telling you now, we've been helping them. We've been helping them. But there's so much money involved. And, look what happened to one of the big drug dealers, cartel dealers over there. And, we had we got him arrested, and his son, they had arrested his son, and then the cartels put pressure on the government, and they released him. Okay?
Right.
They released him. So, and let me tell you now, I've been stationed over there. I know, Doc. It takes more than that. It takes more than that. So, these governments, the president can't get elected unless he had support of the cartels.
Well, George, let me ask you this, though. You see, if money is the source of their corruption and power, then it seems like if the Mexican, and this Mexican president seems willing to talk to Trump about this, that if we put pressure on them and do joint exercises, I mean joint operations against these drug cartels that are set up here, there, everywhere, destroy their ability to produce the drugs, kill them, and then stay on top of it, it seems like that's a tactic or a strategy that might free the Mexican government from the corruption, because there's not going to be any money coming in.
No. One word, Doc. She is under the umbrella of the cartel, okay?
Yeah.
The president. It won't work. It won't work. She'll be dead in a day, okay?
Well, if that's the case, then maybe we're just going to have to do this on our own, and just like with Venezuela,
right?
We're taking them out.
Right.
Start taking them out of Mexico.
Right.
I don't know.
Because they can't. It, what happens is they can't bring it across the border anymore, okay? Our borders are really closely watched. So you know what they're going to do? Use the boats. Use the boats to bring it in. And that one way we can make sure that they don't bring it. But remember now, the Canadian border, when Trump started, he said China, Mexico, and Canada. Okay?
Right.
We're going to put tariff on you if you don't stop the drugs from coming into your country. Well, look at the Canadian Prime Minister. He was really teed at Trump. The Chinese were teed, and the Mexicans were teed. Okay? And that's why Trump said, we're going to put tariffs on you unless you stop the drugs, because the Canadian border is an open border.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean, and then that is a problem, because they're welcoming all of these bad actors, too.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Well, George, I mean, I think that kind of leads us into some of the things that we wanted to kind of talk about in terms of what Trump has done to really, you know, to take a line from what you were talking about. The Democrats have all these bad policies. Well, what are some of the key things that he's done in foreign policy that really has been a major given us some real prospects for a positive future? And I think, you know, one of the key things is that we were saying earlier, you know, bomb Iran. Well, I mean, what that does, it creates a security issue, you know, that we can't allow the Iranians to get the bomb, because they will use it against the Israelis. And if they get a long-range missile, an ICBM, they will just use it to just try to do that to us. So I would say that from a foreign policy standpoint, of the things that I would rate as one of the most important things he's done, that's a key thing.
Right.
The second thing is his working with the Israelis. The Israelis are part of this equation, because look at what they did in destroying Hezbollah, going after Hamas, going after the Houthis, and then absolutely destroying the air defense capability of the Iranians, which makes them vulnerable to any further attack that either the Israelis or we want to do.
Right.
That is a major accomplishment, you know, in terms of getting peace in the Middle East.
Correct.
And I think, you know, it's critical. The third thing that I have is Trump's peace efforts in the Middle East. Not only are they part of the Middle East, but his efforts to try to stop wars in different places. He's got seven or eight that have got ceasefires. Ukraine is still on the burner to see what happens.
Right.
But tied into the peace, especially in the Middle East, are all of these economic deals that are going to bring in trillions of dollars that are going to improve the American ability to become an industrial base on its own again. Again, look at all these Democrats, especially the Democrats who control Congress, did nothing to do anything to keep the industrial base here. They let it all go offshore, okay? Now, all of a sudden, Trump's out there talking about reindustrializing because there's too much dependency on China. Classic example, rare minerals.
Right.
So what has Trump done? He's got deals with Argentina, Indonesia, and he's got our own mines starting to produce.
Right.
Bessette was on TV, talked about in Sumter, South Carolina, there's a mine that has all the kind of minerals that we need, and there are other places like that.
Yeah.
So this, to me, is a critical part of you know, making America great again,
right?
Making it independent again,
right?
Okay?
Yeah,
I think that if you look at you know, the whole question of NATO, think about NATO when Trump his first term.
All right, Doc. We're gonna hold you up.
You got a break.
We gotta get another break. Okay. We'll be right back after these messages, folks.
Okay.
With Dr. Lou Campomanosa. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. We'll get right into it with our special guest, Dr. Lou Campomanosa, and we really appreciate him coming and talking to us. All right, Doc, continue.
Okay, so we've had these number of issues that have been very positive. Another important foreign policy thing is, despite the fact that Democrats kept saying that Trump is going to destroy NATO, what he's done is he's made them realize that they have got to do more to defend for themselves.
Correct.
So they agreed to take a 5% of GDP, and it went from 2% to 5%.
Right.
And then he's worked it to where they're now supporting Ukraine with their own capabilities. That's awfully important to do that, I think. And I think that when you look at not only his overseas issues, but look at how he's secured the border. George, they have had zero people crossing.
Correct.
I mean, it's unheard of.
So if it's zero people, it's zero drugs.
Say again?
If it's zero people, then it's zero drugs, because the people were bringing their drugs over
exactly,
while he was coming.
You know? I do think that if you really kind of look carefully at what he's trying to do on the foreign policy side with the revitalization of the Monroe Doctrine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Monroe Doctrine has always been the centerpiece of our Latin American policy. Now, you've lived in Brazil. You know this, okay?
Right.
So what Trump is trying to do is to reassert American strength there. The first thing he did was he got the Chinese out of Panama.
Right.
They were controlling the canal at both ends, and so
that we built.
But here's another part of what he's doing. Argentina, the great conservative economist Malai, if I'm pronouncing it right. He's Trump is helping him to keep Argentina moving in a conservative direction.
Right.
And then Chile, just an election for president was won by another conservative by the name of Kast.
Right.
So you've got this emphasis on Latin America, which has been allowed to just go nowhere with the last, particularly with Biden. So my sense of this is that what he's tried to do in foreign policy is extremely important, just as it, and it has an impact on what's going on over here. The fact that the great, you know, his big beautiful bill is going to actually hit the streets on January 1st.
That's it.
And what that's going to do, as we were saying earlier, it's going to create a whole lot of money in the pockets of our people, because they're going to get a lot more money back from their tax in income tax this time around.
Correct.
And then they'll be able to change their withholding, so that's going to even bring more money in. I've already done that for my own Social Security.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So you have that, and I think that that's an incredible aspect of what's going to be happening. I do think that as I look back at 25, the California fires are an important thing, and they're important for a number of reasons. Number one, it shows that the incompetence, I think it's incompetence, but it's also linked to an ideology that basically says, you know, we're not touching the forest. Trump took Newsom to task in 2018 because Newsom was not clearing the forest.
Correct.
It's an environmental problem for them.
Correct.
So the forests are allowed to do what they do. Lightning goes off, or it's set afire if it's an arsonist. And the next thing you know, you've got major fires in 2018. Then
right.
This one's a major disaster. But the importance of this is not just the fact that Newsom diverted water and Bass was gone, you know, after being told that there's fire warnings already out there. She still goes off to Africa. Then on top of that, she ends up, you know, cutting back on the fire department. And then they didn't really have enough water. And once again,
correct.
That's Newsom and Bass. They're responsible for having all that.
Correct.
So the big takeaway from this, I would argue, is that when Newsom has all these presidential ambitions, and he's some polls that I've seen, he's running ahead of the game in terms of the Democrat primary.
Right.
That's all fine and dandy, because I think, you know, let him get that domination, because I don't think anyone with half a brain is going to vote for him,
right.
Given his record in government in California.
Right.
Let's put it this way. I sure hope he loses if he does get it.
Right.
So
right.
You've got that kind of thing going on. Another important thing that has incredibly, you know, important impact is this mid-air collision that took place in January with the Army helicopter and a one of the airlines. I forgot which one.
Yeah.
Now, this was critical because here you have airspace issues. What caused this? Well, this helicopter was above the 200 limit. How did that happen?
Right.
Well, they're still trying to determine that, but I don't think that you can, you know, just completely write off a terrorist problem with that. But why is it important now? Because it showed the deficiencies in the air traffic control system.
Correct.
And that's what Secretary Duffy is working on to remedy this.
Right.
And it's going to take some time to do it, but I think they will definitely make it happen. So,
right.
You know, as we look back at some of those things, I do think that, you know, it's important that we have someone like Trump and his cabinet. I mean, George, I mean, have you ever seen a cabinet, a presidential cabinet, that was so effective?
I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
I mean, really?
Really.
I mean, it's...
Really. But,
you know, so...
But Doc, I got to ask you one question before
okay.
before you proceed on, and we have 4 minutes.
Okay.
What about this idiot in Minnesota, what he's done
and all the money that he allowed the Somalians in Minnesota to take back to their country and just waste it. I mean, $1 billion. I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, George, you're absolutely right. But let's face it. Doge pointed out so much corruption in the federal system, right?
Right.
Okay? USAID going to these dummy companies.
Right.
You know, NGOs.
Right.
So this is part and parcel of what we're dealing with, okay?
Right.
So the Doge approach is to identify and eliminate.
Right.
Here you have the same thing going on. Now, in listening to this over the last couple of days with what's going on in Minneapolis, evidently what triggered the big problem is this independent journalist who went out taking pictures. Here's the Learning Center, L-E-A-R. They can't even spell the damn name right.
Right.
Okay? So you have this viral video going out showing that this place is closed down, no kids, no nothing. But there's $2.8 million still going into their account.
Correct.
So the tip of the iceberg is here. Now, my understanding is that there have been investigations that have already taken place, not just by the Minnesota people, but that is the Minnesota people is all fake.
It's
okay,
fake. It's fake.
Ellison, another Muslim radical who used to be in Congress, he's the Attorney General.
Right.
Walz wants this money going to the Somalis for political reasons. He's complicit.
Right.
All right. So we're now at the situation where, what are we going to see happen? And I do think that with the Department of Justice, according to the things that I've seen today, they are going to send lots of people out there and get to the root of it.
Right.
Let's hope that this happens this way. But again, the Doge approach. You've got a lot of these Democrat-run cities. This is not unusual, George. And
okay,
I think that the sooner we get to the roots of it, get it out of Minnesota, take care of it, it'll send a signal, you have got to clean up your act or you're going to jail.
Right. Now, Doc.
See what happens.
Doc, we're going to have to cut it here, but I want you to come back on next week so we can finish this. How's that?
Okay, George.
I'm serious. I'm very serious.
We've got to finish this. Everyone out there in Radio Land, have a great, great new year. Looking forward to talking to you again, George.
Next week,
okay.
Doc. Put that
okay
up. Mark
don't
that on your calendar. Okay?
We'll see you. Okay, man.
All
we'll
right.
Do.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Thank you.
Sure. Bye.
All right. Dr. Lou Campomanosa, folks, and what he's saying makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. So we appreciate him coming on. We're going to have him on again next week because he haven't finished. He and I have talked about some very important issues that you should be aware of. Okay? All right, folks, time to get out of here. Happy New Year to everyone out there. Even you Democrats, Happy New Year to you, okay? It hurts me to say that, but happy New Year to you. We'll be back next week. Until then, Vicon Dales, everyone.